Hey guys, welcome back to the How To Podcast. The How To Podcast is a lifestyle podcast on creating life you want. This week we have Catherine Mason. Catherine is founder and CEO of Sculpt House, a combined fitness and fashion business with brick and mortar workout studios and activewear boutiques in Atlanta and Dallas. And you can find them online also at sculpthouse.com. Catherine is from Charlotte, North Carolina and graduated at the University of Georgia. As a lifelong athlete, certified Legree fitness trainer, and former Wilhelmina fitness model, Catherine has always had a passion for empowering people to face the world confidently through fitness and fashion. Before starting Sculpt House, Catherine worked at some of New York City's most prominent luxury fitness studios and has represented many global fashion brands like Nike, Under Armour, and Adidas. She's also been featured in many fashion and fitness publications like Fitness, Women's Health, GQ, Men's Health, and Vogue. Catherine has appeared on the cover of Shape magazine and was named a top trainer in 2014. In 2016, Catherine returned to her southern roots to launch Sculpt House's flagship location in Atlanta, making her one of the first to emerge on the boutique fitness scene in the Southeast. Fusing her diverse background in retail, marketing, and fitness, Catherine sought to create a fitness studio and boutique that focused on cultivating an atmosphere of growth, empowerment, and self-expression. Today, Sculpt House's mission remains the same: to give clients the tools they need to lead healthier, happier, and more confident lives through fitness and fashion, and empower employees to be confident, independent thinkers that embrace their individuality and personal strengths. I'm so excited for you guys to hear this episode. Catherine is amazing. She was so fun to talk to, and I cannot wait. So let's get into it. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. So excited about today. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I am so excited to have you on. I love talking about anything health and wellness, and I think your story is so inspiring.
Well, thank you. That's very sweet.
Yes. So for people who don't know all about you, let's kind of dive into that. So let's start from the beginning, kind of about you, where you grew up.
Yeah. So I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina, originally. I grew up in a family that was very focused on sports from a young age. So grew up playing soccer, played soccer kind of my whole life. Before college and was on a traveling team. I played school sports and always went to a bunch of football games and basketball games and things like that growing up. So sports and fitness were definitely a part of my childhood. I also grew up in an entrepreneurial family. So my dad is a third generation entrepreneur of a family-owned business. And so both of those things are very natural to who I am, which as we dive in further, it will kind of all make sense. Another thing, I have a very fashionable, wonderful mom who always raised us to be put together and, you know, style yourself to your own individual style. And so I actually worked my first job at 16 at an amazing boutique in Charlotte where I'm from. And so the combination of those things just growing up definitely are a part of who I am and my story.
Yeah, definitely. And so whenever you were in high school, did you know that was the goal one day to eventually like, I want to do something in the fitness and fashion world? Or was it more just like, I enjoy this now, not thinking too much in the future about it?
So if you were to ask me back in high school or probably early college, I would have said, I want to do something in sports, whether that would be sports marketing or an agent for athletes or working for a sports team. That was definitely something that was in the back of my mind. And at that time, Root Fitness was not really what it is today. So we didn't really know too much about this whole fitness industry that is so prevalent today. So that's sort of, if you were interested in sports, if you were interested in fitness, that was sort of the natural progression, I think, at that time. And it's just so cool that that has evolved so much.
So then you went to college. Where did you go to school?
University of Georgia, go Dogs.
Yes.
And it was an amazing experience. I didn't play sports in college, although I did go through recruitment and did entertain some conversations there. But after how intense my sports life was as a kid and not being able to do a lot of the normal things that kids get to do, like sleepovers. That wasn't an option mm-hmm. for me because I had games every Saturday or tournaments for soccer numerous weekends out of the year. I had to, I felt like I had to kind of live a normal experience of a college student. And so I actually yeah. decided not to play sports in college, that I could join a sorority and make new friends. I'm also, like I said, from Charlotte, going out of state to a school. And I grew up in a great place, but everyone went to the same school, junior kindergarten through 12th grade. So I never really experienced that whole thing of meeting new people and expanding your horizons. And I felt like if I was going to do that properly, I needed to really throw myself in and have that true college experience.
Totally. And I love that you kind of mentioned this. So I you know, I have a lot of friends who are athletes, or, you know, they did college athletics, or they were super involved in high school. And it's almost like when that's been your identity for so long, it's almost not an identity crisis, but like, yeah, like it's almost time to like rebrand. It's time to start fresh. And college is a great place for that. Especially like you said, you've been surrounded by all the same people. And now it's like this whole new batch that you have to be ready to entertain.
You are so right. And I think that is part of why my story evolves into what it is because I did have an identity crisis, actually. Mm-hmm. I went to college and no one knew me for anything. And not that it was this crazy thing that I was super well known for, but you know, your identity as a person, what you like, what you gravitate towards, how you spend your time. If it's been one thing your whole life since you were five, and then you're in a new city, a new state, meeting new people, and you're introducing yourself, what do you exactly say your interests are when you're not playing sports anymore? It's a weird thing. And I had to figure that out for myself during that college time. And it really evolved into something of the whole fitness industry and needing to find that athletic something in myself, even when I was going out and, you know, partying with my friends,
mm-hmm, yeah.
Which kind of led to me joining a gym and working with a personal trainer. And that's how I got my first sort of peek into fitness and training. And I felt so fulfilled again. And I needed that person to push me since that was the structure that I had my whole life.
Yeah, definitely. And before we go on to post-college, I just have to ask, what sorority were you in?
I was in 80 Pi.
Okay, nice.
At Georgia. Yeah, it was one of the bigger sororities, which, you know, I think sororities have all different kinds of ideas behind them. I wasn't extremely involved because I'm a very independent person and don't like to be told what to do. So being told that I have to be at all these meetings and stuff, you know, was interesting, but it was such a great way to meet hundreds of people in your first few weeks.
Totally.
And I really appreciated that in my first year or two.
Yeah, I love that. I was in Alpha Chi, Alpha Chi Omega.
Nice.
I don't know if they have those at Georgia, but, yeah, I agree with you though. I was like annoyingly involved, but I also was like always in standards because I also don't like to be told what to do and was breaking a lot of the rules. So I totally get that.
I love that.
So you kind of start to find your passion for fitness and kind of getting into that in college. So whenever you graduated, you decided to move to New York because, you know, you wanted to kind of explore the fitness industry out there, but fitness really can be anywhere. And, you know, like you said, you're from Charlotte, you went to Georgia. What made you pick New York?
So I did live in Atlanta for a year after UGA. I was a PR major and I worked in the PR industry. I actually was on sort of like a healthcare specific route for a little while. And I just really wasn't happy. It was a great business. They were doing amazing things, but I think my entrepreneurial side just felt very trapped. And I think from a very young age, I knew that I wanted to do my own thing. when it comes to the question about why New York, yes, fitness is everywhere. But if you think back to 2012, 2013, fitness was really just sort of budding in these southern cities where I was living. So in Atlanta, for example, we had Flywheel, we had Pure Bar, we had some of these like national sort of ideas, and there was a place called Blast that still is successful today that really inspired me. But I felt like if I'm going to do something and completely change gears, I want to go to like the very golden standard, and LA and New York are those. And I wanted to work in fitness fashion, especially. I had sort of some initial conversations with Wilhelmina, their fitness division. And really they told me, hey, if you want to entertain this, we'd definitely be interested, but you have to have a New York zip code before we're even going to have a serious conversation. So between that conversation and dreaming about working with these brands like Under Armour and Nike and Shape Magazine and all of these, I wanted to do that so badly and learn from that experience. But then it was also these amazing fitness studios that I was following on social media and learning about in New York that were these boutique fitness concepts, just were so inspiring. And so my heart just drew that direction, and it really wasn't that much of a thought at a certain point. I was in a way so unhappy with where I was sort of career-wise and in my life, and I felt like I needed to go and expand my wings again. I think there's sort of a theme here. You know, I lived in a city that allowed me to figure out who I was, but then I needed to kind of go to college in a new place and further expand on that. And then New York was kind of this final chapter in a way where I was able to spread my wings even further. So I wanted to kind of do something big and bold and sort of dangerous in a way. And I didn't have a job lined up or anything, but I just knew, and I'm a very passionate and hardworking person, that I would figure it out when I got there, which seems kind of crazy, but it was a risk that I really wanted to take. I wanted to be risky for, you know, those few years.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like almost that feeling when you start feeling stuck and you're just like, so I could stay and it's nice here and it's comfortable, or I could like maybe potentially go have no friends and be uncomfortable, but like think of all these things I can do. And I feel like not everybody has that, but it's really awesome too. And it's like, you just kind of feel it inside of you. And it's like, for me, it's like an antsy feeling. Like, I don't know what it is, but I have to do something.
It's so true. And all the signs were pointing in that direction. And I'm so glad that I took that leap of faith.
Yeah. So when you got to New York, you were signed with Wilhelmina Models, which for people who don't know is one of the biggest like fashion model agencies there out there. Like some of like the huge names are like, it wasn't like Kendall Jenner and the Hadids. I don't know exactly who, but it's a huge, it's a huge agency. And so that, I feel like that's so awesome that you were part of that. And so when you were in New York, you were signed with them, and then you were also working, was it a personal trainer at some luxury boutique gyms, or what was your job there?
Yeah. So I started the day that I moved to New York, or maybe it was like the day after, because that whole first day was fairly overwhelming. I was completely by myself checking into my sublet apartment. And, you know, I had like these five huge bags and all of that. But anyway, I think it was like the day or two after sort of getting settled, I wanted to go to Barry's boot camp so badly and try it out. So I did, and I fell in love right away. That was my first real experience of a New York level studio. Of course, I've been to Flywheel before in Atlanta, but there's just something about being in New York City and going to this place that's been around at that time for, I think, over 10 years, and really a leader in the fitness and boutique fitness space. I love just the detail that they had of like the candle burning at the front desk and the amazing locker rooms and the instructor that used my name in class. And these are a lot of things that we've tried to replicate at Sculpt House as we've grown and things like that. But I just fell in love with the entire boutique experience, and it felt elevated and different from what I had experienced. And so I applied to work the front desk, which I did for all 2 years that I was there. And, you know, there was probably a point that I could have not worked at the front desk and kind of gone a different direction. But I love just the people that I met, the experiences that I gained. And I learned the operations of fitness at one of the leading studios in the world. At their Chelsea location was primarily where I worked, which is so successful. And every class is full. And it just was an unparalleled experience. If you're going to move to New York and take this big leap, that's the place to go and to meet the right people. And I was able to meet Joey, who's the CEO, and see him on a regular basis. And Barry J, who Barry Soutkamp is named after. You know, you don't really get those types of experiences a lot of places. So I worked the front desk and learned the operations. Then I was also a trainer at another studio that's a Megaformer studio. And I went through the training program, but the modeling was starting to pick up. And so I needed flexibility with my schedule. I would work really early mornings at Barry's, like had to get up at 3:30 in the morning
and be
at Barry's by 5. And, you know, didn't have a car and had to walk and that whole thing. But the training at the Megaformer studio was so great. And I'm so glad that I ended up going more towards personal training there, because I was able to see the effect that the Megaformer had on all of these customers. I had one customer who wanted to primarily do core the whole personal training session, and he was a very advanced client. And then I had, you know, a pregnant customer. I had someone who had like a blood disease, and she could barely do the most basic moves. And that was a really good challenge for me too, but I saw how this workout changed her body, changed her mind, gave her confidence that she hadn't had in a very long time. And then I got ideas from them, and I got the idea from her specifically when she said, my doctor really needs me to do cardio and I don't really know what to do. Can you help me? And I cut down sort of hearing that, and I was working out at Barry's, and I was also working at this SLT, which is the Megaformer studio, and doing the interval training on the treadmill and doing the Megaformer for strength conditioning. And that combination was just so perfect. I kept seeing customers at both places. I kept getting conversations from my personal training clients that they wanted to incorporate some type of cardio. And I quickly realized that there was no place that did combine them together. Mm-hmm. So it was through those experiences that I was able to start this idea of Sculpt House.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how long were you in New York at that point before you got, you know, really kind of got that idea of Sculpt House?
I would say it was within the first year.
Okay, so that's quick.
Yeah, so within the first year, and I think just my entrepreneurial mind started going. I was so in love with what I was doing, whether it was working for a fitness fashion brand, doing a modeling gig for them. I was actually Bandier's first fitness model, or one of the first girls. And so I was able to see these new fitness fashion lines that were sort of the anti Lululemon, the anti Nike and Under Armour, and more these small entrepreneurial, women-owned, USA-produced a lot of the times lines. And between that experience of the fitness modeling and this, it was just like, oh my gosh.
It was all coming,
how
but clicking.
How does no one at home, yes, how does no one at home know about all this stuff? Like this would absolutely crush it in the South, where people care about, you know, how they look and how they feel and are fashionable and are cutting edge and all of that. So it was pretty early on. And then I started writing my business plan.
Oh, that's awesome. And so at what point when you were in New York, were you kind of like, all right, like the business plan is written, I have to move back home and start this?
So it was about, I'm trying to think, I think it was July of whatever year that was. And then by January, I moved back to Atlanta. So I had a period of time where I was writing the business plan. I was still doing the modeling stuff. I felt like it was also important for me to continue being exposed to the operations, continuing to work with customers and learning. And then also on the fashion side, I was really, a lot of times your first year, 2 years in modeling is fairly slow and you're just getting going. So I hated in a way to stop that when I was getting regular calls from Shape Magazine and other brands. And I felt like even just when I started Sculpt House, being able to say that I still am booking jobs would be important. So I was there for about 2 years. And then for about 6 months after I left New York and moved to Atlanta, I was still working some of the modeling jobs. And then eventually just became too much to get a last minute call. I would get a call at like 4 p.m. that the next morning I had a gig in New York City. And it just was like, what am I doing?
Oh, it's crazy.
So it was time to focus on getting the business started.
Yeah. So was it 2015 that you started building the Sculpt House studio?
Yes, it was 2015 that I came back to Atlanta. I started looking for a space. It was a long year of a lot of bumps in the road, a lot of let down in terms of finding the perfect space and things falling through. And I was 25 at the time. So a lot of landlords just didn't even want to hear my concept because they were too scared to take a risk on me, which I understand, but it took over a year to get things going. And so it was January of 2016 when we had our kind of grand opening party and started our first week of like free classes. And then in February is when we fully launched.
Yeah. During that time, it was getting built and you were going through kind of all these things with the landlords and you're getting ready to open. Like, did you ever have a moment of almost like imposter syndrome where it was like, I can't believe that I'm the one who's operating this? Or were you pretty confident the whole way? You've had so much experience in New York at that point?
I think that one of the weird things about me is there are times that I probably am more confident than I should be, but I think that's an entrepreneurial thing where you have to believe in yourself because no one else really does.
Totally. You're having like so landlords laugh in your face.
Completely. You have to be almost so confident that you don't know why you are, but I think it's also when you believe in what you're doing, there's this fire within you that no one can blow out, because if you don't have that, you won't ever make it as an entrepreneur. So to answer your question, I don't think that I had moments of imposter syndrome. I think there are moments maybe as I've gotten older, actually, because I've had to learn all this crazy stuff that's happened. And I've been through a lot. I've been through a lot in 6 years, more than I think a lot of men do an entire career. And, you know, some of that, I don't know why I've had to, but I've learned a lot. I've gone through a lot. So now I have more of that probably. But at the time, I think I was somewhat ignorant. I was young, and I just wanted to do this. I knew it was going to be successful, and I had to have that confidence in myself, or otherwise there would have been 100 different times where I have just stopped.
Yeah, it's almost just like head down. Maybe I'll look back on this and just like laugh in my own face, but right now, head down, just going for it.
And I feel like I almost had nothing to lose because I was so unhappy before I moved to New York that I had nothing to lose at that moment. Then when I came back to Atlanta, all of my friends are here. I was dating a guy who now is my husband, but you know, that was a good relationship at the time. If it hadn't worked out, I would have still been okay, because I'm, you know, around all of my friends. My brother lived here. My sister went to UGA and was an hour away. There was so much around me that it was like, if this kind of does not work out, obviously this is going to really suck because I'm investing so much time, money, energy into it, but I'll figure it out. I can find a PR job. I can, you know, I've now had all of this experience in New York. Someone's going to want to hire me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just had to believe in myself and know that it was all going to work out.
Mm-hmm. It was almost like you were like fulfilled in like personally, you know, so it was like professionally, you could take that jump.
I think that's a really good point. I think that my time in New York was extremely self-reflective. I didn't have a boyfriend the whole time that I was in New York. I didn't really even date that much, primarily because my hours were so weird with having to work in fitness and being up so early and things like that. But I think that time was, I really got to know who I am. And by the time I got back to Atlanta, I was 100%, 150% sure of who I am and was as a person. And so I think that helps a lot.
Yeah.
If you can figure that out, it really helps when you're doing something that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, definitely. Knowing what you know now, you've been in this for, like you said, like 6 years doing this, right? Six?
Yeah, six in terms of Sculpt House. And then about, I guess, eight or so in the fitness industry, maybe nine.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So now having all this experience and knowing what you know now, if you could go back and tell 2015 Catherine, like give her one piece of advice, like what advice would you give her? Whether that's just more like, you got this, or like, make sure that you get your taxes all lined up. Like, well, what's your advice?
Wow. I'm like, that girl has no idea what's about to happen.
You got a big storm coming.
I'm like, totally. Yeah. I'm like, rock your world. But I would just say, hey, it's all going to work out. There are going to be constant waves of things popping up that are going to try to derail you. And you just have to believe that every hard situation that happens is happening for a reason. It's teaching you a lesson. And one day when you're 40 and you look back at all that you've learned, you're going to learn a lot. And so it's all going to be worth it. And just keep going and believe in yourself.
Yeah, I love that. So in January 2016, you opened the first Sculpt House. At what point did you decide to expand? And how was that starting out? You know, was it pretty easy as far as clients? It sounded like you were pretty well connected down there. Or, you know, what's that process of like you're opening and it's like, what next?
Yeah, so, you know, it's a weird story to almost say now because of everything that's happened with COVID and what our company has gone through. But we were open for about 2 years. So in 2018, we decided to expand to Nashville, Tennessee. I loved that expansion process. I feel like really where my love comes from is like building businesses. Mm-hmm. And that expansion process is what I feel like I'm really good at. What I've learned that I don't love as much is like the operational side of running the business and just the customer complaints and the expanded. And I love that process. No, it was not easy, but I feel like I was kind of made to do that. And I love that process. We started expanding pretty quickly after that because it was like we figured out what the new version of our floor plan was. I had like the lighting guy, the sound guy, the architect. We had all of these details. I picked out every single detail of what the new age Sculpt House 2.0 would look like. And so it was very easy to replicate at that point. What happened, unfortunately, was that when COVID hit, and this, you know, is a whole different conversation, but that these locations were not very old when COVID hit. And the first two or so years of a company being launched and built in a new location when you're also physically not there all the time is a really fragile time of the company. So we were in this expansion phase, and Dallas was the last location before COVID hit. It was only open for about 10 months beforehand. And so I had to actually go back and renegotiate every single lease that we had with the landlords and basically say, I think this is going to be a really long road. Are you willing to work with us? Maybe we can figure out a way to, you know, delay some of our payments or a percentage rent situation. And some landlords were very agreeable and willing to work with us because they wanted us to be successful. And then others didn't care. And they cared more about getting their money. And, you know, I would love at some point to be able in a book to really kind of expose how messed up that situation was. But the ones that we have today, which are Buckhead and Dallas, those landlords worked with us. And they are alive and thriving today because of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So how many locations are there? You said Atlanta, Nashville, Dallas.
So we had to close some of the locations is where I was going with that. So, so we had five prior to COVID. Our Charlotte location was, we actually had acquired a mega former studio, and the lease only was, I think like maybe 6 months until it ended. And we were only open for 2 months before COVID. So the lease actually ended during the period of closed down when the whole world was shut down. And we couldn't agree with the landlord to continue that lease, especially with all of the government regulations that were in place for North Carolina, which was very strict compared to even Texas and Georgia. And so it just didn't make sense to build out a new location in Charlotte during a pandemic. And we didn't know when we were going to be able to even have more than maybe three people in a class. Mm. And so that was really sad. And, you know, it's been very difficult to have customers be so upset with us when this was something that I never wanted.
Yeah.
Like, how could I ever want to have to close locations? It was a really terrible period in my life, but I've learned a lot, and I'm stronger and better for it. And I'm just really proud to have, as a small business owner in the fitness industry during a pandemic, to come out alive and thriving with these two locations. I think that's a pretty big thing to celebrate, even though there's been a lot of loss.
Totally, definitely. And what, you know, you talked about that was obviously a hard time. What kind of kept you going? Like, was there ever a point where it's like, well, this sucks, I guess just shut the operation down because this is not going at all how it was supposed to? So what kind of kept you like, you know what, it's fine, we're going to keep going? Like, you know, what kept you going with that? Obviously you've built it from the beginning, but.
Yeah, I think I had a lot of people kind of say to me, are you sure you want to fight this like war that you're about to go through? Because that's what this has been, what COVID has been for small businesses, especially ones that rely on people physically coming in. So restaurants were able to do takeout, and, you know, medical practices. So people felt comfortable. But when you're talking about something like a retail business or a fitness studio, which also have had a lot of government regulations in terms of what we're allowed to do and how we're allowed to run our business. I think ultimately we were in such a great momentum. Our company was doing so well, and the locations that shut down wasn't that they weren't doing well. It was that we physically were not able to make this work with the economics of, hey, you owe all this rent from the months that you were shut down, plus your rent's about to go up because you're about to hit year two or year three, which isn't normally how it's structured. And we're not going to help at all. So like, your rent is still going to be what it says in the lease, and like, good luck. And when you only have 11 people possibly in a class, and no one's physically trying clothes on in the boutique because of COVID, how do you bring in even enough money to pay rent? Okay. Right. So I know that's kind of a tangent of your question, but I think I just felt I've worked so hard. I've invested so much money. Every dollar that I made prior to COVID went back into the business, every single dollar. And so I felt like it would be such a huge loss. We have such an amazing customer base, and it's just not like me to quit. There's actually a quote that I kind of live by that my grandmother used to say when I was little, and it's, can't doesn't live here. And it's the idea of, no, everything might not work out. Yes, you might have to say no to some things or close some locations down or do this or do that. And not everything works out all pretty all the time, but you can always find some kind of solution that's better than I can't make this work. You can make it work. You're just going to have to work really hard and get creative and pivot. And that's what we did. It was such a hard time, but I'm so proud. And I actually wouldn't take it back for anything. I think that experience has been pivotal in my life. I've been able to learn a lot about myself, and it's been a nice way to kind of reinvent the business in some ways.
Hey guys, taking a little break from this episode to give a shout out to our sponsor, Sour Lemon Beverage Company, or you can find them on Instagram at Sour Lemon Beverage. Sour Lemon Beverage is an apple cider vinegar based concentrate that provides a ton of great health benefits and tastes amazing. Not only does it boost immunity and reduce sugar cravings, it also improves gut health and enhances the body's natural detoxification process. They're low calorie, literally 5 calories or less per serving concentrates, made with organic ingredients, come in a variety of yummy flavors. My personal favorites are the pineapple and turmeric, and then the cherry limeade flavor. Literally so good. All you do is you open up the bottle it comes into, you put it in your drink, you mix it with water, and you're good to go. If you don't already know, apple cider vinegar has such amazing health benefits, like, again, reducing sugar cravings, promoting good gut health, balancing blood sugar levels, and gently detoxing the body and giving you clearer skin. But if you haven't tried apple cider vinegar, it tastes awful, and so Sour Lemon Beverage Company has fixed that by mixing it with amazing flavors, and it's just tastes so, so good. They sent me a package, and literally it was gone within days. It was amazing. So if you haven't tried it, again, check them out on Instagram, Sour Lemon Beverage, or online at sourlemonbeverage.com. Thanks again, Sour Lemon Beverage Company, for sponsoring this episode, and let's get back into it.
Reinvent the business in some ways.
Yeah, definitely. I can't imagine. I feel like that would be difficult, and small business owners had it, you know, this year's been so difficult. So it's really awesome to see that you still, like, you know, push through, and that it's still a living and breathing business. And like you said, thriving. So that's always, it's so exciting to hear. For people who haven't been to Sculpt House, because like you said, it's more south, I'm in the west. So, but I am visiting, and I want to come to some classes. But what makes Sculpt House different than like a Barry's or an Orange Theory or whatever?
Yeah, great question. So like I was saying earlier, when I was working out at one studio for interval training on a treadmill and another studio for the Megaformer, I realized that that combination of super low impact, it's called Legree Fitness, but it's sort of like a souped up Pilates is the easiest way to explain it to someone that's not familiar. It's super low impact and but high intensity, and it changed my body in a way that regular weight training just didn't. I always bulked up a lot. I didn't have a whole lot of injuries growing up, but you know, after that many years of playing sports, you feel things a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. And so I loved that machine, but I also felt that we needed some kind of cardio, and I loved that interval training that I had at Barry's. And so we were the first studio in the world to combine the Megaformer with a treadmill. Cool. There had been no other studio ever before that had put these two together. And so there was a period of about 6 months when we were kind of creating this method because it had never been done before. And Legree is typically a 45 to 50 minute Megaformer only strength training workout. So to combine 25 minutes and to get it into a small period of time, but also make it effective, was a fun challenge. And so it's just different in that it's very low impact, but high intensity. And the treadmill is unusual because it's a human power treadmill. So if you go to a lot of fitness studios that have treadmills, you press a button, you press the up button or the down button on the speed, and you hope to stay on, and you're just moving and grooving to stay on the treadmill. This one is actually powered by you. So there's no buttons, no motors. Mm-hmm. It's on a slight curve design. So it's super low impact on your hips, knees, lower back, which is also important to me as a runner. I've always felt like treadmills have been intense on your body and haven't felt normal in terms of proper running form.
They just make your body ache.
But this, Yeah, and running form is so important. I ran track growing up, so I learned a lot about that. And when you run on a treadmill, you're actually not able to really properly have those mechanics. And so this treadmill allows you to have proper running form, which makes it low impact on your body, but you're also burning up to, and I don't generally talk about calories, but it is an interesting note, up to 30% more calories on this treadmill than a normal treadmill because you are powering it.
Yeah.
You're actually having to use your posterior chain muscles, which are the muscles at the back of your body, your glutes, your hamstrings, your calves, to drive the belt backwards.
Okay. Wow. That's insane. So have you noticed that people come and they're like, wow, these, like, I've never been able to run so well. Cause that's, I've been on those treadmills before and it is crazy. Cause it's like, you don't realize how fast, like, you know, you can power it and then you're just like sprinting.
Yeah.
Like it's easy. I don't know. Not easy, but like you said, low intensity, it doesn't feel like you're just like hitting the ground like you are with a normal treadmill.
Yeah. I think a lot of times people are very intimidated by our machines because they look pretty crazy. They're very unusual. They are definitely kind of the most high-end pieces of equipment on the fitness market, which also make them so low impact and amazing. But the treadmill does take kind of like one session or so to get used to because you are making it go and that flat belt system is moving kind of freely as you move. If you stop, it stops with you. So you're never just going to like fall off the back like a regular treadmill. But it takes some getting used to. But I think people, once you go to a Woodway Curve, you're totally spoiled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think people have a really hard time going to other places once they've done our workout or try to curve before.
Yeah, definitely. So when someone walks into a class, you know, what can they expect? How long is the class? What's the format of it?
So we have a few different formats actually. So we have a typical Legree Fitness Megaformer only class that's 50 minutes, which is going to be a total body workout. We always start with core. You're going to have a leg series on the left and right. You're going to have upper body, you're going to have obliques, and then we always finish with center core as well. We also have the cardio sculpt class, which is what we're known for, and that's the method that we created. 25 minutes of the treadmill, 25 minutes of the megaformer. You can start on either machine. During half capacity classes, we only have 11 people in the class, but 22 machines. And so in a full capacity, it's actually 22. So you can start wherever you want, depending on whether it's half capacity or full. And you spend 25 whole minutes on one machine. There's a 2-minute break to clean the machines down, put your socks or shoes on or off, depending on which one you're going to, and then switching to the other machine. We also have created some shorter little classes because of all the Zoom calls that people are doing and having to have like a quick little workout. So we have something called Cardio Express, which is just the treadmill for 30 minutes,
cool.
Which is such a fun class to teach. I love that one. It's very focused on running form too. So we're only focused on you as a runner. There are no megaformers going on. And so we're able to give you that attention. And then we've also created a Strength Sculpt Express, which is the 30-minute version of that megaformer only class.
Okay, that's awesome. And that's, I agree. I think a lot of fitness studios have had to pivot with like people needing to take shorter classes, people doing this, people aren't on their normal working schedule. So it's nice to see that your studio is also doing that and having to kind of work with the times.
Yes, we have pivoted a ton. And the cool thing that I like to think about with all that's gone on is that if you've been able to make it out as a small business of, and not that it's over, of course, but we're on a different side, right? Vaccinations are coming out and we know a lot more about COVID and all of this. So we're kind of in a new era of it. But one of the coolest things, if you have been able to make it out as a small business, you kind of found like the diamond and the rough of what your company is. You've had to sort of whittle things away that aren't for your company, that haven't worked in the past, that maybe you were doing too many things at once, which I think, if I'm going to be honest with myself, there were probably things that we were doing that seemed like a good idea, or like because we were doing so well, we added or whatever. And so you've had to pivot and change things and change your business model to a way where whatever it is today is probably the best version of your company because it made it out alive.
Yeah, exactly. You have to like pick what's a priority. Side,
yeah. And just like you, all the, you know, crap that you've kind of, this your business has developed into, not saying that your business is crap, but you know, you kind of start building all these things and you've had to really figure out what the essence of your brand and your business is. And another thing that's been cool is that our online store, our retail part of our business has grown so much over the last year. That was also a thing I think that gave me the light at the end of the tunnel of like, no, we're not going to just give up. Like we grew 230% online in 2020, and it became an entire business of its own that wasn't something in 2019. And so it gave me this little confidence that I really probably needed during that time to say, keep going. This is really cool and exciting.
Yeah. And that's another thing I wanted to bring up because it makes sense. Like obviously with all of your experience that you added the Sculpt House Active Boutique. So when did you decide to bring in kind of like the athleisure boutique wear to your brand?
So it was actually day one. So when it's always been around. So when we opened in Buckhead, we have a pretty big boutique at the very front when you walk in the front door, and then we have our classes, and that was always a focus of our business. I think that at first it was a little bit slower than the studio part, and then it kind of grew to about 50-50 in terms of revenue, and then Buckhead's been open for about 5 years, so we're now 50-50, sometimes 60-40 in terms of just that location. When it comes to Dallas, it's still, because I think this is what normally happens. We're a fitness studio first when we're newer. And then people are like, wow, this retail offering is amazing. So we're about 60-40 in terms of studio to boutique in Dallas, but it's definitely growing, which is super exciting. And then I think the retail presence in terms of e-commerce has really elevated our brand to a bigger level. And I think that the retail is going to be able to further expand, because with classes, you can only have so many classes a day with so many people in the class, right? There's kind of a ceiling. If you have full capacity at some point, classes and 100% utilization, you're only hitting kind of a certain number possibly, right? When it comes to the retail, it's like, there's really no ceiling to that, both in person and online. So it's been really exciting to see that grow and continue to grow. And I think that's going to be something that will put us on more of a national presence and level as we continue to grow.
So as far as the boutique, so are you like designing and picking the clothes, or is it more like you're going to market and like going with the athleisure brands and bringing them into the studio? How does that process work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, Mary Catherine, who is our chief retail officer, and I do all of the buying. She helps manage all of those relationships, and it's a huge undertaking with just all the retail that we move through during a year. But I am very involved with every decision when it comes to buying. So we are carrying about, I think at this point, 60, 75 lines from all around the world. Wow. Back in 2019, we did speak to a company about designing our own line, which is definitely a goal one at some point. I think this was, 2019, and then 2020 rolled around. I think just things changed, and so that wouldn't have made sense. But I think it's definitely something that we want to do in the future. We know what fit works. We know what fabrics work. We know what we're doing. I think for right now, just in the period that we are of sort of recovery mode from everything that's happened over the last year, I don't think that we have the bandwidth to really go there. But I think when we kind of get on the other side of all of this, that is definitely a goal that we have.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. And I just like, based on this story, I think if anyone can do it, it's definitely you.
Thank you. That's so nice.
being a woman in business is hard. Like you said, things that you've dealt with, a lot of men probably haven't ever had to deal with in their career. And I feel like with women, there's almost like, I don't know, and maybe this is just my personality, but I'm a list person. And so I'm like, there's a time for everything. And you kind of have this plan of like, at this point, I want to, be married. And at this point, I want to have a family. And at this, whatever, you know what I mean? But, and I feel like for a woman, it's a little harder. There's a little more of like this, like kind of tight deadline, if you know what I mean? And so how has it been to balance, and how do you continue to balance of like prioritizing your personal life, but also kicking ass and like being a boss and, you know, really being this like leader in the fitness industry? Like what's that balance like? Is it hard? Because I think that's for a lot of women kind of like this like internal battle of like, well, I do want to do this, but I also want this. And, you know, it's hard.
Your question feels so relevant right now. And I think it's because pretty much all of my friends are either pregnant or just had a baby. I'll be 32 in August. And so, you know, there's definitely a pressure to hit certain deadlines, like you said, or like by this age, you do this. I think to start at the beginning, I've definitely always done things my own way. That's just my personality. I'm very independent. I learned who I am, like I said, back in New York, and I kind of became unapologetically myself. Some people like it, some people don't. I kind of don't really care either way, because I'm just going to be me. But I do think that it's been hard in the last few years, because we were on this path of growth and expansion, and that was around like my 30th birthday. And then the last year, 31 now, has been just a total, not disaster, but it's just been absolutely crazy. And so to feel sort of like you're on this path of, okay, like maybe we can consider kids one day and those types of things, and then to be totally side railed and feel like, oh my gosh, we're kind of starting over. It's a hard thing that sort of I've been through and mentally going through, but I also don't feel any pressure at the same time. I am healthy. I know that things happen when they should, how they should. The timing of all of this in my life is a blessing for some reason. And I think a lot of that is, it was a year that my husband and I were able to really focus on our relationship and time together and working in the same house. And that's something that would have never happened, right, if this hadn't occurred. And so I think that happened for a reason. I do think that there are times where I feel like it's unfair that, one day when we decide to have kids, I have to sort of maybe take a step back a little bit. And of course he would help and be very involved. That's who he is, but it won't affect him as much as it will affect me. Totally. And that's a real kind of thing that is in my head when people are asking me all the time now, are you guys going to have kids soon? Or what are you thinking? And I'm like, I can't even imagine having kids right now, because I'm just trying to have 60 employees and do right by them, make sure they get paid every 2 weeks and mm-hmm. pay rent and bring enough revenue in the door that we can keep our doors open. So to think about having a kid and being a great mom just seems, it just seems like not possible, right? But I think that we're getting on the other side of things to where that can come in the right timing. And I think that ultimately, what it comes down to is, if you're a confident person that is doing something that they love, that believes in themselves, you don't have to feel any pressure to stay in a certain box or do certain things on a certain timeline of everybody else. And I think I've learned that more in the last few years, probably. I think that's kind of one of those things that, like, in your 30s, you kind of learn who you are on a second wavelength of just doing things your own way. And I think my husband and I have both discussed that that's just how we're always going to be. Whether people don't, you know, believe in it or don't agree with it, we're going to do us, and we're going to be really happy doing it that way.
Yeah, I really love that. Cause yeah, there is like this pressure of like, when you hit this age, you know, what's your plan? What are you doing? And I like what you said about it's all possible, but like work on your own time and be confident in your own and like what you can do and the bandwidth that you can take it every step.
And I think the other thing is, and this is kind of going a different direction, but if you are really wanting to have kids and you are going to wait later, maybe just educate yourself on your own body and go see someone to figure out what your fertility situation is. I think it's important as a woman to open up that conversation, talk to your husband about it, and not have like a taboo subject around that. Like if you know that you're just not ready yet and you're getting older, which is a great thing. I think I've actually loved my 30s a lot more than my 20s. But just educate yourself on your own body and figure out a plan. And it doesn't have to be a plan for the next year. It can be a plan for the next 3 to 5. And that's completely fine. And no one needs to tell you otherwise.
I love that. People want to find you or they want to come see you. Where can they find you online? Where can they find you in person?
Yeah. So I live in Atlanta, but I'm in Dallas quite often. So come see me at the studio. If you want to follow me personally on Instagram, it's Catherine Mason, and there's an underscore at the end, trying to get rid of that. But some random girl still has my name.
That's the worst.
I haven't been active on social media in like 4 years.
Yeah.
And then Sculpt House or Sculpt House Boutique. So we have a few different places that you can find us, depending on if you have a local studio. If you're in Atlanta or in Dallas, definitely follow our Sculpt House page. Or if you just want to shop our e-commerce, the boutique, Sculpt House Boutique Instagram is definitely the way to go.
Awesome. Well, I have really enjoyed talking with you and really appreciate you hopping on. This was such a great interview and you're so inspirational, and I can't wait for everybody to listen.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. This was so fun.
Yes, I had the best time. All right. We'll talk to everybody next week. Hey guys, it's Lily. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for supporting. If you ever want to find a way to help support me even more, you can rate this 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or subscribe on Spotify. Again, thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.